Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of F This Movie, the podcast for people that hate movies but like a movie discussion.
Yup.
Joining me once again tonight, Mr. Alex Lawson. How are you, Alex?
I'm doing good. I'm happy to be live in the studio.
Yes.
It's a pretty sweet pad you got here.
Thank you very much.
It's very Thank convenient you. For discussing films.
It really is. I set it up that way. Alex is just about to relocate to our nation's capital, where
Correct.
He's taking a job with the Obama administration. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
I do. I'll be, as you know, I won't be the first sort of person from my age demographic to
right.
take on. I'm sure you heard about Cal Penn.
Absolutely. Well, I thought you were filling in for him while he went to make the third Harold and Kumar movie.
Nope. He's actually pretty locked in on that.
Okay.
I'll be just his lackey or something for now.
You're going to be Kumar's assistant?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Second banana to Kumar.
Will you
I guess.
Have anything to do with Harold and Kumar 3?
I'm not really at liberty to say
okay.
at this point. Government sensitivity is going to
Will he
become.
Be making another sequel to Van Wilder? Will Taj rise again is my question.
No, it's going to be really dark. He's going to fall again.
The fall of Taj?
The fall of Taj.
Holy shit.
There will be
shit. I'm so excited about
drug
that.
Addictions.
Wow.
Things of that nature.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so it's like his Scarface.
Mm-hmm.
If you
little
will.
Bit.
Okay. I'll check
the
it.
The world is his.
I'll check it out.
Mm-hmm.
You should get that on a t-shirt and then wear that t-shirt.
I think I'm going to.
Or a poster.
Anything.
In your new place.
I mean, there's a lot of tourists there.
Only deck out your new apartment with artwork from Scarface is my suggestion to you.
I'm sure my roommates will love that. These new roommates that I have no idea who they are. But I mean, because there's nothing tacky about that at all.
No!
It's good.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Have you seen anything good lately?
Not one thing.
Nope.
I saw something really, really lousy. I know that's not what you asked.
No, I'm happy to hear about things that are lousy, but you're right. That's not what I asked.
I saw Salt yesterday.
Okay. I also saw Salt yesterday.
Oh, good. We've never really done this,
no.
Like where we've seen the same thing.
Right.
I really hated it.
Did you?
I hated it. And I know it's gotten like okay reviews. I feel like you probably liked it a little more than I did.
I didn't hate it, so I guess that's liking it more than
I
you.
I really hated it.
Interesting.
What
did you hate about it without spoiling Salt?
Oh, well.
We're not effing Salt, audience.
We're not effing Salt.
No.
Well, we had a discussion about
that
this.
Burns.
Yeah. We had a discussion about like this when we saw not related to the podcast, just because we're friends and we
right.
hang out, when
right.
we saw Clash of the Titans.
Yes.
And you said...
Love that movie.
And you said there are bad movies.
Right.
And that's fine, but the worst kind is when they're boring.
Right.
I was really bored with Salt.
Okay.
I was never on board with
okay.
anything that was really going on. I think
okay.
part of it was... and we'll talk about this a little bit more later. the movie you all just recently effed.
Yes.
Inception.
Yes.
Now, I'm still so geeking out about that anything that has an action sequence in it from now on
yeah.
is going to just pale in comparison in terms of how it's orchestrated and, more specifically, who I care about
okay.
within the parent. Like, it was a lot of noise, and
yeah.
I just didn't care too much.
There's a fatal flaw at the center of Salt, and it is sort of the main character.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're trying to play a very specific game with you, and that's fine, but I understand where you would not be. If you're not on board with that, it's hard to care at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to care either way, but that's almost not what they're going for. But the game that they're playing, I went along with it just because what else was I going to do, but I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
And I was bummed out because I actually thought some of the action in the trailer was pretty good.
Yeah, kind of.
But a lot like Night and Day, another movie from earlier this
year
that I did not like.
Problematic, yeah.
There were a few good action shots in that trailer, but they are all, that's exactly what's in the movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sometimes you want it to go bigger.
Yeah.
When you actually see the movie. It's like, oh, I caught a glimpse of that in the trailer, but here's the whole thing. No, this was the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I probably wouldn't have even liked it had I not seen any trailers. But that's, that's a fair point,
right.
just about, and it's a marketing thing and all that, but I really
right.
just wasn't down with it.
I thought the thing where she was jumping from car to car was, like, fairly interesting, but I didn't like the way that Philip Noyce covered it, because he cut it up too much,
mm-hmm.
and that kind of thing
it takes
you
away
see
from, yeah, I mean, you
want
to see it happening.
Right,
yeah.
exactly.
Yeah, that's
Which
a, that's
is
a perfect
hard
example.
To do, you know, but now they have computers. They have computers.
They can do it.
Computers can do a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I saw Salt, and then I also saw, The Kids Are All Right.
Oh, and How was that?
It's all right.
Jesus.
It's getting crazy.
Heck.
It's getting crazy good reviews.
Yeah.
And I did not necessarily see that movie. I didn't dislike it. I liked it just fine. I just didn't. It wasn't as good as I was hoping it was going to be.
Who directed that?
Lisa Cholodenko.
Is she a person she that we should know?
She made High Art, and she made Laurel Canyon.
Oh, I know Laurel Canyon. That was with Frances McDormand and Kate Beckinsale, right?
Which is, it's sort of similarly flawed. Like, Laurel Canyon, for everything it does well, there's like two things that you're like, ah, I wish that would be a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie was very similar.
Oh, okay.
But not bad, and certainly better than a lot of stuff that's out this summer, and a much different... A welcome change of pace for the summer, if you will.
Yeah,
which is anti-salt.
Well, we're thankfully winding down here.
But there's still a few. We got the Expendables still on deck.
Yes.
Fucking Scott Pilgrim is obviously the big one.
No, we can talk about that later.
Yes. And also, what else? The Other Guys, Dinner for Schmucks. I'm just naming movies that are coming out, not necessarily ones that I'm excited about.
Yeah.
I am genuinely excited about Scott Pilgrim. Sort of excited about the Expendables. You know what I'm actually really excited about? Piranha 3D.
Oh, well, without a doubt.
Is a great trailer.
Do you think, now, I mean, the news item that's circling around the internet now is like that now there's actual, like, I mean, there's always been 3D backlash.
Right.
But now it's actually becoming a thing. Well, because it was Christopher Nolan was regarding Inception, was like, I didn't like the way it looked.
Right.
And I didn't.
But he said it like British and monotone.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, you know, he's like, whatever.
He's a dynamic speaker.
Oh, without a doubt. Captivating. But now I think, especially now that he's like the guy, you know, who can, you know, do no wrong at this point.
Right.
I think it sort of lends credence to what a lot of the masses have been saying, and maybe it'll...
Which is die. F3D.
Yeah, F3D.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it'll, like, die out.
I hope so.
But I mean, on the flip side of that coin, I think Piranha 3D...
That's the kind of movie that should be in 3D.
Exactly. Well, it's sort of the joke.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah.
And it's you know, really the only movie of this whole craze that, yeah, is adopting it almost as a joke.
Yeah.
And was long before...
Yes.
Even Avatar, really... Mm. What's weird about it is that they have always known it was going to be in 3D. Piranha 3D was always sort of the title.
Yeah.
But they're not shooting it 3D. Their plan all along has been to post-convert it to 3D.
Yeah.
But that's fine, because I think it'll lend it that shitty 80s Jaws 3D quality that they're obviously, based on the one trailer I saw back in January.
Yeah, they have been pretty far out ahead of this thing.
Well,
it's been getting pushed back.
Getting pushed back because I think the Weinstein Company didn't have the money to release it, basically.
Oh, okay.
A question as to whether or not it was going to come out at all.
I would have cried. Well, thank God we've jumped all those hurdles and we can be given Piranha 3D.
Yes.
That seems like a thing that was always sort of destined for a late August thing, right?
Absolutely.
I don't, you know.
Well, or April, because
before
anything comes out.
But,
So you mentioned Inception a couple of times.
I did. You mentioned it a lot last time.
Yeah, a lot. I spent the whole time talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a movie we both liked.
Yes.
And in keeping with the sort of Christopher Nolan gushing or whatever it is, we're sort of fixated on Christopher Nolan these days. So what movie are we effing tonight?
We're effing his 2008 magnum opus, The Dark Knight.
You know what's weird? Introduce the movie as though it's a question, like it's a surprise.
Yeah.
Like, what movie are we doing? And then we announce it, right? The fucking podcast is titled the movie. Like,
when they go on the website, you know,
you'll
put the poster
there.
I'll
listen to The Dark Knight Show, and then 9 minutes in,
like,
we
guess
act like,
what?
Yeah. So maybe one of these days we can just trick people.
Big question mark.
Yeah.
We'll
make it The Dark, like, we'll call it The Dark Knight. And then when you tune in, you're like, what?
K-19 The Widowmaker.
Oh, nice.
Getting effed.
I was going Batman and Robin.
Way off the grid.
K-19 The Widowmaker.
Way off the grid.
Wins,
yeah.
I think. Definitely wins. Catherine, Academy Award winning director, Catherine Bigelow, by the way.
She's there. highly regarded actor, Harrison Ford, is in
Liam
there.
Liam Neeson,
star of
every movie.
Mm-hmm. Including a Christopher Nolan film, Batman Begins.
That's right.
Did you want to do some foreplay, or?
Didn't we do it?
Are you going to tag all the contact stuff on at the end?
Oh,
emails
shit.
And shit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. This is F This Movie.
Fuck.
you can listen to us on F This Movie.
I'm working with Cal Penn later. Oh, well, okay, we're not going that far.
Our email is fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com if you want to email us. People have. We've gotten requests for shows like Funny People.
Okay.
District 9.
Love it.
Domino. Somebody else suggested we do Magnolia and Rachel Getting Married because he hated them both.
Whoa.
And I need to respond via email, but I'll also say it on the podcast. It's probably not a great idea that we do that. If you're someone who hated those movies, you probably don't want to hear us talk about them. Because I think for the most part, we like them. Yeah. Although Rachel Getting Married, I think I've cooled on.
Really?
I mean, I still like it, but when I saw it in the theater, it really cast a spell.
It was your number one movie of the year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really cast a spell. And I was like, I really like this. And then I saw it about 2 months later at home to review. And it wasn't the same.
Oh, okay.
I still like it. I'm not bashing it, but it was not the same.
Right.
Magnolia, I still have a great deal of affection.
Of course. All right.
That's our email.
Way to go.
Dark Knight.
Dark Knight. I was sort of, okay, so we don't have to dwell on Inception because it's well-worn territory at this point.
Right.
I've seen it 3 times. I loved it.
Nice.
And I just wanted to go back and, like, visit his whole, you know, canon.
Me too.
Truthfully, I hadn't... full mea culpa here.
Yes.
I hadn't seen Memento until about 2 weeks ago.
Ever?
Never got around to seeing
it. No kidding.
Just always meant to.
Okay.
Obviously, it didn't have any... And I love that.
Yeah.
And I've always liked it. When The Dark Knight came out, I liked it like everybody else liked it.
Yeah.
But I always had little things... There were little things that on rewatches only became bigger things for me that really bugged me about it.
Okay.
And I probably hadn't seen it in... I don't know, maybe a couple months or so, and I just wanted to give it, another try to see if anything would stick out more or less, and so we can maybe talk about it here, and they're kind of still there.
Okay.
Now, some of this probably going to sound nitpicky to some people. Listen, it's a really, really great movie, and, like, I understand that. But it's weird. It's just weird how certain threads sort of start to come apart for me in a weird way. I don't know. Maybe we can have some civilized discourse here.
I don't disagree with you.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, ironically, just a few days ago, I got a message from somebody saying, "Hey, I'd like to talk about Dark Knight with you sometime." And I wrote him back and said, "You know, we're actually doing that on an upcoming podcast.
Okay.
And what are your issues with it?" And he listed a bunch, which I probably should have pulled up, but I don't even know that I need to because I think most of the things he referenced were the same kind of issues that I have with the movie. And I'm in the same boat where I really like it, but it's not a perfect movie, and it exists in a weird place in popular culture.
Absolutely.
Inception is already going that way, and that bums me out, because it's like an all-or-nothing mentality when it comes to The Dark Knight, that the majority of its supporters are like, it's fucking awesome, it's one of the 5 best movies ever made, it is the godfather of comic book movies.
I know, yeah.
Fuck you for having any problems with it. And then, of course, there's another side. Some of it exists just to be contrary and just like, it's not that good. Dark Knight sucks. Fuck Dark Knight. There are, of course, people who genuinely just were like, it did nothing for me. And I can't tell those people that they're wrong. I understand that. The people who are just trying to be different for the sake of being different, fuck those people. But
yeah.
and luckily, like, one of the guys I write with at DVD Verdict posted a really good article today about this response to Inception and what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it made a really good point about... that what you're reacting to should never be other people's reactions. That the movie is the center, not the response.
Mm-hmm.
The movie is at the center, and you exist in relation to the movie. And I feel like I've always done a pretty good job of doing that in my own head. I'm like comfortable enough to not have to belong to a party, you know what I mean?
So
my relationship to The Dark Knight is my own.
Sure. Well, yeah, we had a discussion like this when Watchmen came out, and you said, you know, there will be people who love it and people who hate it.
Right.
I look forward to making up my own mind.
Yeah, right.
And I always thought that was a really great way of just sort of making that distinction that it's not an all or nothing thing.
Right.
But
Dark Knight, more than most movies, I think.
Yeah.
Is, I mean, even Avatar, which people were really passionate about, I feel like even a lot of the people that were passionate were like, yeah, I know the dialogue's kind of bad. But Dark Knight, I think there's a large collection of people unwilling to see any of its flaws.
Sure.
And of course, the flip side is people who are only able to see its flaws.
Yeah. So, I mean, and again, that's what I come back to.
Right.
We'll be the best, we'll be the middle of that Venn diagram.
Yeah.
Just,
So chances are, if you haven't seen The Dark Knight,
if you're one of the eight.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty popular. It's you know. It's not the most successful of all time, because that's Avatar and then Titanic, but it's like in the
top
10.
It made some bucks.
Yeah, so a lot of people did see it. If you haven't seen it, we will probably be... We kind of have to spoil elements. I want to get away from spoiling movies a little bit on this show, sure. But sometimes, like with The Dark Knight, where most of the problems, I think, are third act problems, we kind of have to address the third act, in which case we'll be spoiling.
Yeah, yeah.
So you lead us off.
Okay. First of all, the things that it does really well continue to be great on all these rewatches.
Right.
I like the idea that stuff really only starts to get crazy, like really crazy, mm-hmm. when the Joker is captured.
Okay.
Like, I haven't seen a lot of... Spoiler, the Joker gets captured. But, like, I mean, I feel like I haven't seen that done in a lot of movies, specifically a lot of comic book movies,
mm-hmm.
where ostensibly the villain is vanquished to some degree, and then it just gets nuts.
Right.
I guess I'll start by saying, I mean, you said most of the problems are third act problems.
I think.
I actually have some issues that start in the second act,
okay.
I think. And it just starts with that, and again, these are all, and I should say, these are all story problems, mostly, for me. As far as a composition and, staging,
really
I mean, I can't really knock much of that at all.
It's a very well-made movie, the acting is pretty...
Never, the acting and all that, yeah.
Did you know Heath Ledger died?
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a thing.
The cat that played the Joker.
Oh, yikes.
He died.
He had so much potential. Yeah, that's, I mean, he's a whole other thing that I'm sure we'll get off on. We're not going to get off.
I get
on
off
that.
On Heath Ledger.
Ah!
Probably twice a week.
I use words. anyway, it all kind of starts to come apart for me in the chase where they're escorting Harvey Dent.
Okay.
Down underground.
Mm-hmm.
And it sets into motion this really elaborate plan,
mm-hmm.
that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And it's in this vein. Like, the Joker is like, you know, he pulls up beside, he's got the... And I actually did pick up on something that was a little different. Well, it wasn't different, it was the same. It was different to me.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that truck that says, you know, laughter is the best medicine. He's gleefully painted an S in front of laughter. Slaughter is the best medicine.
What?
Yeah.
He should have painted it after the laughter's.
Laughter's
is the best medicine.
Laughter's is. anyway, so I mean, he's got the bazooka, and he aims it at the car that's carrying Harvey Dent.
Right.
And he shoots it.
Right.
And Batman intercepts it with the Batmobile. It's totally awesome.
Right.
He was trying to kill Harvey Dent in that moment.
Okay.
And then, so I mean, if not for Batman interceding. And then from that, he then gets captured, setting into motion an elaborate, you know, sort of choice that Batman ultimately has to make between Harvey Dent and Rachel Dawes, played by Maggie Gyllenhaal,
mm-hmm.
Where they're sort of in, you know, different locations, and he has to pick them, and at some point... There's an inmate with a phone,
mm-hmm.
in his gut that,
mm-hmm.
gets blown up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so many balls in the air. And I feel like it's really sort of tenuous in terms of how this plan was actually supposed to work.
I absolutely understand what you're saying.
And even that would be okay.
Right.
Because I'm certainly one who's willing to say it's a fucking comic book movie and all that. But particularly when it's sort of preaching this gritty urban realism.
Right.
I guess I hold it to a higher standard.
That's obviously, I think, the thing that the movie does best, what you just mentioned, is that it feels more like a crime movie from the 70s than it,
mm-hmm.
does any comic book movie we've ever seen. And Batman Begins, which is a movie I like but don't love, started that aesthetic. And, when we saw it was such a breath of fresh air, because it was like, wow, somebody really brought this larger-than-life comic book into the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was almost like that's what you were reacting to. And he did a lot of things right, but the story's kind of a mess.
Yeah,
and
it's a little
the third
weird.
Act in that movie is
a
fucking train wreck. But it was like we were so excited for what it represented in,
mm-hmm.
terms of comic book movies. And obviously The Dark Knight is the movie where he was able to build on top of all that and just do things generally in a more awesome way. So I love that. I understand exactly what you're saying about this plan, and it doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense, especially upon reflection, because when you're watching it, you tend not to question those things.
Yeah.
I guess my response, like, that isn't necessarily an issue for me, because my response to that would be, and this sounds like I'm making excuses for the movie, but I feel like the portrayal of the Joker that Heath Ledger came up with almost justifies that mess that you're describing.
Yeah.
And maybe, I don't know, even know that it's intentional on the part of the brothers Nolan, who wrote the movie. But the character that he created seems absolutely like a guy who would just have 10 different things that he wants going on at once.
Sure.
That, you know, and it, yeah, let's kill Harvey Dent. Why? Because fuck him, because that'll make things go crazy. And
yeah,
maybe the plan was just to grab Rachel Dawes, but then Harvey Dent's alive. Well, fuck it. Let's grab him, that he's constantly improvising because he doesn't necessarily have a master plan.
Well, see, yeah, and he's got that line. It says, do I really look like a guy with a plan?
Right.
Which is a great line.
Because in the first movie, there's a huge master plan,
yeah,
and it's awful. It involves a train and gas shooting out of sewers.
It's bad, and, you know,
and whatever.
Liam Neeson comes back from the dead and all that.
Right,
yeah, yeah.
That's the master, and the master plan is a mess. And I like that this movie is just about improvising every second of the way, you know, every step of the way.
Yeah.
But I think it also lends itself to the movie at times feels not directionless, because it always, Christopher Nolan's movies are cut in such a way, are shot and edited in such a way, and the Hans Zimmer score is so awesome.
Yes.
Which, I, watching it again, I watched it again today, and I was amazed, because everybody talks about, man, that Danny Elfman Batman theme is so great. And
yeah,
it is. I'm not taking anything away from the Danny Elfman Batman theme.
Pretty iconic. Yeah.
But fucking Hans Zimmer does this awesome score, and it's like two notes. There's the march.
Yeah.
There's that march that pops in and out. But essentially, the repeating theme throughout the movie is just that, nah, nah, and it's awesome. That's two fucking notes.
I know.
So the score and the editing and the way it's shot, his movies all have a perpetual feeling of forward motion. They're always moving towards something, particularly Inception.
Yes.
And this movie has that same thing, but when you step back and actually think about sort of the plot, it really is kind of in fits and starts, and there's no actual story being told. You know what I mean?
It's
just about,
it's more about themes, I think.
Right. And
yeah,
and things definitely happen, but there's no like story arc necessarily. It's just, if you're describing the plot, it's like, well, there's a bad guy named the Joker who wants to destroy Gotham City, and there's a guy named Batman who has to stop him, and there's not necessarily a story being told, you know. But you don't realize it as you're watching it, like I was saying about what you were saying. You don't realize it as you're watching it, because it's just you're constantly pushing forward
as it's happening to you. I mean, it's like a really, you know, pleasurable thing, and you see.
Are we talking about The Dark Knight?
Well, I think we're talking about getting off on Heath Ledger.
Oh, right.
Yeah, which, well, and that's, well, this is a good time as any to talk about that.
About Heath Ledger?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's something that I've. I was talking about how I had problems with the movie. That's never been one.
No.
I don't understand.
I don't think that's anybody's problem.
No.
I don't know. I will say, in the interest of full disclosure, when I first heard that Heath Ledger had been cast as the Joker, I was not happy about it.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I felt like he was too young. And again, I had a different thing in
my
head.
Sure.
Not that I was married to the Jack Nicholson one, because holy shit, if you go back now and try and watch Tim Burton's Batman, especially after The Dark Knight exists, you're like, oh, this is not, how did we accept this? How did we say this is entertainment?
It'll always hold a place in my heart. I saw it when I was 4 years old. But yeah,
well,
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, that was a very, very important movie to me, but it's hard to watch now that you've seen this.
What it can be.
Right, so I was not thrilled about the casting of Heath Ledger, and partially because I hadn't necessarily seen him do anything that suggested to me what he was capable of.
Mm-hmm.
And even having seen a Brokeback Mountain or whatever, would not have suggested to me what he was capable of in this movie. Like,
sure.
He is beyond great in The Dark Knight.
Oh, it's great.
And
yeah.
I take back anything I said, because his casting is the best thing about the movie.
I was big into it when I heard it, and
because you're a big Knight's Tale fan.
Yeah, well, no, you know what it was, actually.
A Knight's Tale.
No, not a Knight's Tale.
Okay.
Lords of Dogtown.
Oh, Lords, really?
Did you see Lords of Dogtown?
Yes, I did.
He was, I mean, that, I mean, I'm not saying it's anything indicative of what okay. the Joker is,
right?
But it is sort of like a goofy, sort of like really out there sort of guy that all actually made me think like, oh, he could probably do something. Just it was something different that I really enjoyed. I mean, he's just like
I've never disliked him in a movie. I just thought he hadn't made that many good movies.
Yeah. Like, okay.
He is a talented guy and has sort of, I guess, an impressive body of work when you are picking and choosing mm-hmm. because you forget about things like The Order and The Four Feathers. Not 10 Things I Hate About You.
No,
I actually do love that movie.
Falls apart in the third act, much like.
Whoa! Every movie falls apart in the third act except Inception. Nope. Here's a fascinating thing about Christopher Nolan talking about casting. Okay. Obviously, the cast is pretty uniformly awesome.
Yeah.
In this movie, even Maggie Gyllenhaal is fine because, what, she's building off of what Katie Holmes established.
That's, people rag on Maggie Gyllenhaal a lot. I really didn't.
She's replacing Katie Holmes.
I'm a person who has problems with the movie, and I really don't have too much of a problem with her.
Because it doesn't matter. She's a symbol. She doesn't really need to give a performance. I guess I have a problem when the Joker says, like, you are beautiful, because, like, well, you know, whatever.
Debatable.
You know, it's in the eye of the beholder. But yeah, Katie Holmes in Batman Begins. Even though I really like that movie, was like, oh,
well, and it says
we've cut that movie.
It says something. Yeah, well, it says something about Nolan that he's obviously really good at what he does, but he also clearly can acknowledge when he's made a mistake.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
I'm sure he went back and probably even when they were too far along in the process to.
Well,
you know,
and I would argue
sure
that the character is a mistake. She serves a function in The Dark Knight, so I guess it's fine.
Yeah.
But like, he doesn't need to have a love interest. There's not a girl that has to see the Batcave, you know? Like, enough already. What I was going to say about Christopher Nolan, though, his casting is fascinating because as I'm watching The Dark Knight, there's all these people that pop up in small parts who I think have been written off almost as a joke in large parts of Hollywood, including Anthony Michael Hall and Eric Roberts and Michael J. White or Jai, I don't know how you say that.
Spawn.
Black Dynamite. Right,
yeah,
Spawn. And they pop up in this mega budget blockbuster that's one of the most successful movies. I think it's fascinating that Christopher Nolan sees something in these actors who have sort of been written off that other people don't, or he just likes to do that. He just likes to take
maybe, yeah.
I don't know.
I will say this, and this is like an ultimately like nitpicky thing.
Okay.
But it is something that I notice. Mm-hmm. And so I don't consider it nitpicky in that it bugs me every time, and it doesn't bug me in other movies.
Okay.
This has some of the worst... You're really going to roll your eyes at it. This has some of the worst extra acting.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
The first time I watched this movie, the first time I saw it, Midnight Show, the night it opened, I noticed that.
Okay, good.
It's distracting.
It is a little distracting.
It's distracting.
Well, the big one is obviously the press conference when he comes out with the...
Things are worse than ever.
And then the boisterous... No more dead cops. Now, that's a problem. And then there's also one really early on when, some guy's going over to some dude's car for a drug deal or something, and he sees the bat signal in the sky, and he's just like, you got a better chance of winning the Powerball than running into him. I'm like, where did he find these people?
I don't know.
It really bothers me.
The two fairies scene.
Oh,
There's a lot going on. Oh, Tiny Lister, another fucking guy who's not often taken seriously, but here he is, the soul of the Dark Knight.
Give it to me. Fuck Tim.
Zeus.
Yeah, yeah,
fucking
yeah. Fucking
no holds barred, beating on fucking Rip.
Yeah.
Rip.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a problem.
It is.
And again, it's a minor problem, but it's a thing. And particularly since he's, from all that we know about Christopher Nolan, I mean, he's such a taskmaster.
Right.
You would think that it would have been tough for those people to get sort of through.
Right.
But, you know, it's a thing, I guess.
So the people that dislike The Dark Knight, and again, I'm not talking about the people who say, I don't like it, everybody else likes it, that movie's shit. Those people can't
That's
be reasoned with.
That's not what we're doing here.
Right, and those people just can't be reasoned with.
Much like the Joker.
Their opinions just don't matter, right. But the people who genuinely are like, that movie does nothing for me. What do you think it is about the movie that doesn't... I mean, obviously, everybody's experience with the movie is very personal, so we can't necessarily speculate on why people don't like something. Mm-hmm. But since we're kind of... picking small things. Like, I don't think anybody didn't like The Dark Knight because they felt like the background artist acting was subpar.
Yeah, no, probably not.
So what do you suppose it is that they're reacting to? Is it the lack of a story overall?
I mean, no. And again, it's hard to speak for a whole legion of people, but I think it's...
I'm insisting that you try.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to do my best. It's probably a little bit to do with that, and I guess, I don't know, maybe it's not what... Maybe, and this is kind of dumb sounding, but awesome. Okay, let's give it a whirl. yeah, how's that for an endorsement of a theory? I don't know, maybe people don't like the proceedings to be so heavy-handed. Okay. Maybe they want it to be a little more fun, and I'm not saying okay. This wasn't fun, but it's like
but
this
it's
is
not fun
this
for
is
a lot
something
of people,
like for example, like I mean, there were kids at the screening that I saw it at, yeah. And they were like running screaming out of the yeah. theater because some of this shit is really fucking scary.
Yeah, it's...
And I'm not even saying that like all parents didn't like it, but I mean, maybe people hold comic book movies to a certain standard. Or not even a standard, but they expect certain things out of it, and when they don't get them, it's just not for them,
right.
You know. And maybe this whole and while that's what some people really like about this movie, the fact that it's dark and that it's really sort of big and expansive and sort of a sweeping, you know, like you said, a crime story.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it just comes down to people just don't want that,
yeah.
And it you know they want you know Iron Man, and I like Iron Man. A
right,
and
right,
iron, you
right.
know, and but you know, it's
and they
a,
came out the same summer, and it was interesting.
It's
I
a
think,
totally different thing, though.
To
I mean,
see those two approaches,
yeah,
and
both really good movies,
yeah.
And successful in their own right, but with very different goals,
right?
And maybe I don't know, people found that a little more appealing, and this is just I don't know, maybe it strikes them as just too ambitious. I don't know.
Well, it is very ambitious, and I want to get back to that in a second. I think it's interesting. Again, now having seen Inception and really liking that movie, and I think it's a more successful movie. I think it's a better movie. I think The Dark Knight really put him in a position where he could really kind of knock Inception out of the park, if you'll pardon the cliche.
Sure.
It's also unfair almost to compare the two because Inception gets to exist as its own thing. It's just a movie that we see, whereas The Dark Knight has to fit in not just in
yeah.
movies that we see, but it has to fit in with... the whole character of Batman, both in the movie. So now it has to be another Batman movie, and we're comparing it to other Batman movies. But then we're also comparing it to, well, how does it stack up against the Batman of the comic books?
Mm-hmm.
And then we're also comparing it, just like you said, within the genre of comic book movies.
Yeah.
This is what I want from a comic book movie. This isn't what I want. And a lot of people say, well, this is the best comic book movie ever made. And I think a case could be made for that. But I think we're doing it a disservice if we don't consider it outside the scope of just comic book movies. And I think it's a movie that it's maybe the best example of a comic book movie that can exist outside of the genre.
Transcending the genre.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's interesting that you would make that comparison between the two, because obviously much has been made about like how ambitious Inception is in
yeah.
production and story and
yeah.
all that. But I was having a discussion with my friend who was just like, you know, I mean, can you imagine someone pitching this movie, talking about Inception, pitching this movie to a studio? I said that. And then he said, well, I'm sure the pitch was essentially just, did you see The Dark Knight?
Yeah,
give
right.
me $150 million or whatever.
Right, right.
And now in that vein, I think the point you're making, and correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, in terms of what it has to be to other people,
mm-hmm.
it seems like The Dark Knight is almost actually a more difficult movie to make.
Yeah.
Not always from a production standpoint, because obviously some of the stuff in Inception is just nuts. But in terms of who you have to please.
Right. Well, it's an advantage and a disadvantage because Inception, you're starting with nothing and you have to win everyone over with this.
Yeah.
You have to explain a concept.
Yeah.
You have to execute it properly. You have to win everyone over. Whereas The Dark Knight, like you're saying, yeah, you have all these different groups that you have to please and
mm.
you have to be faithful in certain ways and change other things. And you have all these obstacles, but at the same time, you have a lot of people who are going to come into this movie with goodwill just because they like Batman.
Sure, sure.
So as much as it's an obstacle, I think it's also helpful, you know,
okay.
in some ways.
Well, I mean, now that we've...
I just burped.
Yeah.
For those of you who hate the burping...
We've gotten the emails.
There it is.
He's tried to temper it. we have some pizza in us and pop.
Yeah.
We're doing the best we can.
That's what we call soda here in Chicago, by the way.
Yep.
If you're listening elsewhere... Okay.
Pop, y'all.
We have a Facebook fan. You can like us on Facebook, by the way,
mm-hmm.
from overseas. I forget what country.
Oh.
Yeah.
I wonder what they call
our
it over
first
there.
One. I don't know.
Suds, maybe. I don't know. Now that we've, you know, done it, I think we're doing a good job not sounding like those snarky bastards that we were talking
about. Well, no, because we opened it up saying we like it.
Let's move on then to, I think, some of the third act problems that we're talking about. I find it to be a real shame that the entirety of the arc of Two-Face is played out over like a 20-minute stretch.
Yes.
That's
troublesome. And that is essentially the biggest flaw with The Dark Knight.
And particularly since I think Aaron, like we talked about the casting. I think Aaron Eckhart is really, really great in this.
Yeah.
I think he like gets it from the minute. Like, I mean, he kills that line with the, you know, you die a hero, you're
Enough
to see yourself become the villain. I mean, obviously that is the character in that.
Which in the trailer, knowing that he was going to be Two-Face was like the line that gave you chills.
Oh, yeah, 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 like, yeah.
That's
yeah.
fucking awesome.
And it's just great.
Yeah.
It's just sort of gets shoehorned in there.
Yeah.
And well, this is sort of a cruel, you know, irony or whatever, you know, the fact that, you know, the big joke, of course, of it is that, oh, they killed off the wrong bad guy because of what happened in real life.
Oh,
I mean, the Joker
right.
is left alive and Two-Face dies.
Which is, by the way, a complaint that I've read, possibly in a review of Inception, when people are attacking the Dark Knight. One of the things they say is, like, I mean, what happens to the Joker? Like, he's just left dangling there.
Well, the cops.
Exactly.
Come.
Like, how is that a flaw in the movie?
Oh, that's dumb.
Because it's not resolved. You don't see him arrested or die. Like,
oh,
I think that's
great. The cops, like, come in and. Yeah, it's better, I think.
I like that he doesn't have to kill off the villain. I like that Scarecrow pops up in the beginning.
Yeah.
I like that it exists in this world where bad guys come in and out of it.
Yeah.
You know? I think that's awesome. I thought that was such a nice touch.
That's horseshit.
But right, that's such a dumb criticism.
All right.
Well, like, why is he hanging there? yes, the Harvey Dent Two-Face story is, I mean, I would say the fatal flaw in The Dark Knight, but that means that it ruins the movie.
Yeah.
And it doesn't.
No, that's not the case, yeah.
But it does cripple the third act
a little bit.
Because, again, you know, the way that some people have compared The Dark Knight to The Godfather of comic book movies, I think it's almost an appropriate comparison because, again, we're talking about a crime saga that looks at a large grouping of people. It's not just about Batman, but it's about sort of all of Gotham City and the way that the system is broken. But, you know, essentially the answer is no, there's still hope. Watching it again today, I was thinking of The Wire, actually. Reminded me of The Wire ways that it approaches all of the different ways in which the system is broken within this city. So that's pretty high fucking praise, Dark Knight. But like The Godfather, I think they needed to spread Harvey Dent out over two movies.
Mm-hmm.
He needed to be sort of the Michael Corleone. Where
yeah.
By the end of this movie, okay, he's Two-Face, and then the third movie is where we sort of deal with those issues and those themes, because I think, and maybe I'm wrong, I think at the heart of the movie, Christopher Nolan treats it almost as though it's a battle for the soul of Harvey Dent. And on the one side we have Batman, and on the other side we have the Joker.
It's that, and then tied to that is the soul of the city, to an extent.
Right, well, which is
they
what
put
Harvey
so much
Dent
stock
is.
In
right,
them. Yeah,
right.
Okay, go ahead.
But I think that's a problem. Because I don't think Batman represents one side and the Joker represents the other. I actually think it's Harvey Dent and the Joker who are the polar opposites.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Batman is almost somewhere in between.
Mm-hmm.
That he's, you know, he wants what Harvey Dent wants, but he's willing
but
to do things.
Joker
style,
the same way.
You know. And Harvey Dent is the one true sort of hero in the movie, but I like that he's not just sort of this generic do-gooder, that he understands that you have to get your hands a little bit dirty. Not that he's willing to compromise himself, but he's a great character. And when he becomes Two-Face, is it supposed to be that's a win for the Joker? That's a win for chaos?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, and this goes back to the thing we were talking about before. I mean, was it his goal to always kill him, or was it his goal? I mean, obviously, it wasn't literally his goal to burn the left side of his body.
Right.
And then that was obviously some happenstance. But then he then talks about like how Harvey's my ace in the hole, and I have made him into something that, you know, will that's
but again, I think that goes back to the Joker's ability to improvise.
I guess his plan
was to kill him because he's a symbol for good in Gotham City. Like, but when he doesn't die,
this is better.
Yeah. Look at my luck. You
that's
know?
Good. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, something about it just feels so abrupt.
Aside from just the fact that, yeah, they don't spend enough time on it. The character doesn't really make sense. He's gone crazy. Okay, maybe. He's running around killing people. He wants to kill Commissioner Gordon's family. That it's whole weird. Sequence is really rushed. All of it's rushed to the point where the first time I saw it, I really didn't think he was dead.
Yeah, me neither.
I was like, so is he supposed to be dead?
It took a second viewing. I'm like, oh, well, they're talking about him and they got pictures of him.
Right.
And it's like, I guess he's dead then.
And I might have been okay if he wasn't. If it was like,
oh, sure.
We got to stash him away somewhere and lock him up, you know? Like,
that's what I'm saying about it feeling abrupt is that, right. like, he's okay. And just, then he's just gone now.
It's the same bullshit that they pulled with Venom in Spider-Man 3 to a much less successful extent.
Yeah,
but it's like, he's Venom. And he's out of the movie. And it just
what was fun
work.
For you? Yeah. And that sort of leads us to, like, my final big issue.
Okay.
And that's with the very end of the movie.
Okay.
Which is, again, what sort of leaves me from fully embracing it. Because it is, like, the tone of the movie.
Right.
You know. So, Harvey Dent has caused all this destruction. He's just gone and offing all these people, you know, some of them cops and all that, and the people
by flipping a coin.
Yeah, sure, pretty arbitrary.
I really think they should have had Tommy Lee Jones do it with the zebra stripe suit.
And I mean, that would have totally fit in.
And the Drew Barrymore and Debbie Mazar.
Oh, I didn't know who the other person. I didn't know that was Debbie Mazar. That's
Sugar and Spice,
yeah,
I believe. Yeah.
Nuts.
Oh God, is that very good? Is what I meant to say. Very good. Thank you, Batman.
Fits right
forever.
In there. I think they'll be calling Jim Carrey for the next one. Yeah.
People keep saying Joseph Gordon-Levitt, by the way, which I think is just wish fulfillment casting. But
well,
at the same time, I feel like
Joseph Gordon-Levitt is what, though?
As the Riddler.
Oh, I've heard him as replacement Joker.
Yeah, I've heard that, too, which they're not going to do.
No, they're not going
to
do that.
I don't know that they have to do the Riddler. I don't know.
Is that on the record as a thing?
No. It's you know, people are pretending that that's the next big thing. And possibly even somebody connected with the movie might have dropped a hint that that was a possibility.
I thought Michael Caine said it in an interview.
Maybe.
I could be wrong.
I don't know. But it's just, like, I don't know if I need to see the Riddler. And Joseph Gordon-Levitt, to me, seems like Heath Ledger Part 2.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
like,
yeah.
He's a good enough actor that I know he would, like, find something different to do, that he would be conscious of that.
Yeah.
But it just seems like Heath Ledger Part 2.
Yeah, absolutely. And
they're pulling all their villains from 10 Things I Hate About You. What's next?
David Krumholtz King Tut or something. I don't know.
Egghead, I believe.
Yeah,
he's going as Egghead.
Who's the Joe the Isuzu guy as the teacher? He could be the Penguin or something.
Mr. Freeze.
Yeah, Julia Stiles as Catwoman.
Absolutely.
Have you ever seen
like the fan made poster with I want to say it's like Angelina Jolie as Catwoman.
Oh yeah.
It's called Gotham City. I love crazy fans and the internet.
The internet. It's a wonderful amalgam. What was I saying? Oh yeah, the end.
Yeah.
Okay, so Harvey Dent did these really bad things.
Yes.
Killing people.
Yeah.
He killed Eric Roberts by shooting his driver, which is one of the weirdest murders in the history of movies, right? He just caps him and buckles a seatbelt in the car. Like, all right.
That's what happens when you get shot and you're driving.
It's fine. Anyway.
Please.
So the people can't know about this because it'll break their spirit.
Right.
So they decide, well, we'll blame it on Batman.
Right.
And it'll be, you know, like, they'll hunt him for a while because they need someone to chase.
Right.
And they can't know the truth.
Right.
My big hang-up with this is, if you're going to deceive people...
Yeah.
I mean, you can tell... I mean, if you've made the moral choice to lie to the public...
Right.
You can say any number of things that don't involve villainizing Batman. And not...
Right,
now, this is sort of a nitpicky, logical thing. I mean, you could just say the Joker did it. I mean, or any number of the... you know, faceless goons who were around, like those guys with those bad accents.
Right.
But
yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying. Batman was already sort of villainized throughout the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't necessarily see that because we only see it through Jim Gordon's eyes.
Yeah.
But, you know, the city is already sort of on a manhunt for Batman.
Yeah.
So I agree with what you're saying, but I do like where it lands the movie thematically
and what it establishes
for the next movie.
Yes,
it's
a good place to get it to,
right.
Undoubtedly. That's like a totally cool way to end a movie.
And a great character moment for him and really true, I think, to the spirit of Batman.
Yeah.
Which this movie does a lot, by the way. Again, I'm not somebody who, like, you have to be slavishly faithful to the comic books, and I'm sure, you know, Batman has been through so many iterations where's Batmite, you know? Like, why isn't he in there? But the Batman that I like and that I'm familiar with, I like that, you know, he's so, I like all the different gadgets that he uses, and I like, even though that whole China sequence is kind of a weird diversion, it does feel like Batman to me,
it's a mission that he would undertake,
right? That he does detective work, and
that's great with the ballistics and the bullet,
right? And I like all the I like the thing about where he's spying on the whole city, because Batman does often cross the line, and again, that sort of thematically ties into the movie. But it's one of those things that the movie sets up that it's not quite prepared to deal with. And you had said earlier that it's very ambitious, and it is. Almost too much so, because there's so much going on in the movie that a lot of it actually never gets dealt with. And I don't mean that necessarily as a flaw, because I would prefer to have a movie that's overcooked than one that's undercooked.
Sure,
and I would always rather have a movie that tries to do too much than a movie that isn't interested in, you know, doing anything, which is something like Grown Ups or whatever. That whole thing about him spying on the whole city, or that stuff at the beginning, I think is really interesting, that the city is sort of in chaos, and it's partially Batman's fault, because he has raised the game. His existence has raised the game, and they allude to that at the end of Batman Begins, that it's like, well, now we have a costume hero, so now the villain's got to get crazy too, and here's the Joker. But when the movie opens, that there's all these other sort of wannabe vigilantes dressing as Batman.
Yeah.
That's really interesting to me. It's never really dealt with outside of that scene. And the one dude that drops down from the window, which is always still a great jump.
Right in front of Batman Well.
Did you notice that...
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that happened.
Did you notice... no matter how many years pass, the mayor of Gotham City never ages.
No, yeah, he doesn't. And he's always wearing that same J. Crew shirt.
I said it's never dealt with outside of
That's right. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, that's never really struck me as anything that I needed to have. Like, I mean, he says, you know, there were more this time with guns and all that. And that's about all I think I ever really needed on that front.
I'm not necessarily saying I needed more, but I think it introduces an interesting idea that it's not prepared to carry out.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if you're saying it was carried out to your satisfaction, then that's fine. But I just think, it would have helped add to, because that shortly thereafter, you know, the Joker is introduced and the movie becomes very Joker-centric.
Yeah.
But I think it could have effectively juggled a few more balls. And I know that's the opposite of what I was just saying in terms of it's trying to do too much, but... The reason I say that is because it starts to do things and then it stops. And if it could have done more things to sort of completion, it would have been more successful. And so I think to carry that through along with the Joker stuff, it would have been more effective. That's actually one of the things I really liked, again, until the last act of Batman Begins, is the way that he's sort of fighting a war on all these different fronts. We have the Scarecrow stuff, and then we have the Carmine Falcone stuff, and, you know, a real world gangster, quote unquote supervillain.
The Ra's al Ghul stuff.
Right. And it's like, this feels like Batman. And then there's a train flying through Gotham City.
Into the heart of the city
as steam infect erupts.
It with fear.
Right. And Katie Holmes is drugged and hallucinating.
Yeah, the horses are neat. Yeah, yeah. That there really are some problems, are there?
And I will say, I do not love and there are people who would disagree with me, I do not love the whole two fairy sequence.
End of the movie. That's some problems.
It's fine, but in a movie that's a little bit on the long side already, and it, like I said, a little bit overstuffed with things, it's fine in that it's, you know, here's a plan that is directly affecting citizens of Gotham City, because there actually isn't a lot of that going on in the movie.
Yeah.
The Joker is rarely terrorizing the actual citizens. He's going after these specific people. So this is affecting them directly, but it just doesn't...
I get, like, what the point of it is, because, like, he says, this the line is some paraphrasing. This city just showed you what it's like to whatever.
Well, that bothers me that it's like
it's not. Yeah, it's like that's my thing too. It's a little bit too simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
To have it be like it's not like this is a city full of great people. Right. It's like, well, the guy was probably about to do it until, you know, he threw the thing out the... I'm just saying.
Well, and Heath Ledger has a great moment where it's right after the here we go, which is so iconic.
Yeah.
He has a look on his face where he realizes that they're not going to do it. And it's that look is so great because in that moment, that's when the Joker has lost. It's not when Batman kicks the shit out of him and he's dangling from a thing because he never really gives up at any point.
No, yeah.
But there's a look on his face where he realizes, I lost. They beat me. And I just noticed it today, and I was like, that's fucking awesome. And then Batman does that whole speech about...
Yeah, it sort of
they're not as bad as you thought they are, are they, Joe? It's like, all right, that's a little on the nose. We get it. That's what we're thinking.
Yeah. I've been critical of movies like that before, that if they don't trust you enough to sort of connect those dots.
They have to articulate exactly what is obvious.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It reminds me a little bit too much of like that thing in Spider-Man when they're throwing the rocks and you gotta
deal with all of
them. Yeah, I can't remember what it is, but it's so just
we're
like,
all in this together. Yeah.
Or the kids passing him on the train.
It's a little heavy-handed.
Here, Spider-Man, you dropped your mask or whatever. Mr. Kimball, are you all right? Don't they say Mr. Kimball, are you all right?
In Kindergarten Cop, you took a total left
after Spider-Man.
Yeah, right after
they pass
right
him on the train, and they say, "Mr. Kimball, are you all right?"
Well, I remember in Spider-Man 2, the guy's like, "He's no older than my son."
Right.
Like,
it's that moment. I think it always takes me out of these movies, and the Two Fairy scene is that scene for me.
That's probably true. I guess one thing I sort of keep coming back to. That sort of overrides all the problems that I have with it. Is just sort of the it has like really lofty goals in terms of the story that it's like trying to tell, and moreover, this is what I wanted to talk to you about. Like, you know how we said like there's those camp of people who are sort of unapologetic in their love for it.
Right.
I read a lot of things. This is sort of like the curse of overeducation or something. I read a lot of things like comparing it to like everything like thematically from like the 2008 presidential election to and to like then to other things of like, you know, it's actually a commentary on like international terrorism and the
that I think is accurate
authority. I mean, I don't know if I mean, I'm not just, I don't think I'm some sort of plebeian or anything. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know if it has to be that for me. I mean, what are your thoughts? I mean, I guess this is,
well, of course it doesn't have to be that,
yeah.
But I think the fact that it can be read that way at all is a testament to the movie's success. And I like that the movie is that it is. You know, even the best comic book movies, I mean, Spider-Man 2 is sort of perhaps still the best comic book movie. There are a few others that one could make the argument about, including The Dark Knight, I think.
Sure.
Elektra. Elektra, definitely. Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Well, that's a given.
Yeah. But even Spider-Man 2 is sort of self-contained. It has some themes about responsibility. But it's always sort of still about Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like, the responsibility is, well, it's hard to be Spider-Man, and I have to live up to this responsibility of being Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And The Dark Knight, I think, exists outside of Gotham City and outside of Batman. Like I said, it's one of those movies that deserves to be looked at outside of the comic book genre, because I think it is about bigger things, which, quote-unquote, comic book movies aren't often. I definitely think it's a movie about terrorism. I think the 2008 election might be a bit of a stretch. Unless it's just about like optimism in the face of
are like hordes of stupid articles, like, you know, Harvey Dent is Barack Obama, you know, all the
I guess, but I
but
don't
I mean
think
the,
it's
for,
fair
first
to
of
compare...
all the timing is totally wrong. I mean, it came out in July of 2008.
Right.
You know, but anyway.
And I don't know that it's fair to compare 2008 America with Gotham City.
Well, that paints quite a picture, doesn't it?
Right.
Yeah, but
I definitely think it's about terrorism and sort of the response to terrorism and what is the, which way do we go about it? Are we Harvey Dent or do we need Batman?
Yeah.
You know, okay. And what is the, not that there's a right solution, but I think.
Different methodologies.
Yeah, I think that's really super cool. It seems like we've spent an hour just picking it apart, like what the problems are.
No, we've heaped some praise on it.
Up front we're like, no, we love it. And then we're like, but here, what the fuck is with this? And it sucks because, like I said, it's one of these movies where it's like, you almost have to think it's perfect to be part of its fan base.
Yeah. And I definitely don't want, I mean, I don't know how we're going to sound when we listen to this, but I mean, I really hope we don't sound like it's a really great movie that I hold to a very high standard.
Yeah.
And I guess that's why the things that bother me bother me that much.
It's
not a perfect movie.
And a lot of people would argue that it is.
Yeah.
And we're just saying, no, it isn't.
It's not. It's got some problems, but it's just, you know, it's very, very thoroughly enjoyable.
Yeah.
And I will continue to watch it many times before I'm gone from this earth.
One of the problems that people... When will that be, by the way? I need a timetable.
I mean, I don't know.
Maybe a week. Okay, good. Yeah, how's next Thursday? One of the problems that I think people said was... that people have talked about with the movie is, you know, there's not enough Batman in it.
Oh, no.
That's not a problem.
No, screw that. I don't...
And that's what's fascinating to me is, like, again, that these fan art posters have called the next movie Gotham City. And I don't know what they're planning on.
No, I don't know.
But, like, that could be the name of this movie.
Because
That's really what it's about.
Yeah.
It's not about Batman. Batman is a function in this city. He's certainly a character. But he's just one of several forces that the movie is interested in examining.
Yeah.
Which is, again, what it sort of does so awesomely and why I really feel like there's so much of it that it owes a debt to movies of the 70s.
Yeah. I definitely that's not a problem I have with it.
No.
Not enough Batman. Notice how in all the things I've complained about, I didn't complain about Christian Bale. I mean, I wasn't thrilled with his casting in the first one. But it's not like a deal breaker for me at all.
Yeah, I just thought he was kind of fine. You know?
Yeah, I mean,
But
in fact, I think part of this movie's strength is actually scaling it back. And like you said, he's actually just a cog in a machine here.
Right.
And the part of the commentary on that, you know, the Joker, you know, is always, you know, telling him, he's like, you know, don't act like one of them because you're not.
Right.
And, you know, if you step back for a second, there's like you said, I mean, there's just sort of this masterful crime saga being unfolded.
Mm-hmm.
He's really just one part. He's an important part.
Absolutely.
But there's so many other factors. And I think that to broaden the scope and sort of say, so there's a lot of other stuff going on, not only with Joker, but with the mob. And then when, you know, the rise of Harvey Dent and his influence.
Right.
And
again, that's why that kind of breaks your heart, because you're watching sort of this three-way power struggle, Joker, Harvey Dent, and Batman, and to see it resolve for Harvey Dent the way it resolves. I mean, we all know it's a tragedy, what happens to him, and we know it's coming.
Yeah, that's,
but I think it would have been more tragic if they would have almost delayed that gratification
to the end
of this movie, or even just make the third movie about Harvey Dent. I don't know, but...
I've seen, devoted fanboy types plus the internet equals really kind of crazy stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
I did see something, it's on YouTube or something, like How the Dark Knight Should Have Ended or something.
Okay.
And it's not like a nitpicky The Dark Knight Sucks thing. It's
an alien comes down.
Yeah.
And a predator and they attack each other. Did you ever see that?
And then there's a Requiem.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No. No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, you've never seen that, like a fan film from a couple years ago. Shit, I don't remember what it's called. I'm positive you can find it, like, on YouTube. It's insane. It has incredible production values. It's like Batman and the Joker. The Joker, by the way, is played by Andrew Koenig, Boner from Growing Pains,
who recently
died. It's just the two of them, and they're fighting, and then out of nowhere, like, an alien shows up.
Like, from aliens.
And then a predator shows up. It's fascinating, but it has insane production values. It's one of those things that was passed around a lot at, like, comic book festivals and stuff.
Well, this is
comic book festivals. Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah, that's
comic book festivals.
Comic book festivals. Your credentials are
what the fuck just happened
out the window.
What the fuck did, you know, comic book festivals. Jesus fucking Christ.
Anyway, this is, all right, just hang your head for a second. I'll take the lead
back
on this.
Please.
Yeah, this is not that. It was someone who I would imagine had the same issue that we did, that the Harvey Dent stuff was a little too, just a little too abrupt.
Right.
The last shot of the movie is that sort of, the music is just that like sort of tone, mm-hmm, and he's in the mm-hmm. hospital bed and it all kind of crescendos, okay, and then right. he rips off the stuff and is like screaming right. silently. Right. And that's the end of The Dark Knight.
Interesting.
And that's how you see it.
Right.
And that, I mean, if that is the way it could have been, where right. it sets up that he's so angry and he's right. deformed and stuff,
right.
it takes it away from that. It makes it a different movie, obviously, in terms right. of what the theme is. But
not a terrible idea, though.
Not a terrible idea, and you know, but and for as much as we're saying like, oh, they really fucked that up, the ending. I mean, he's going to make this third one. I'm right. sure it'll be really good.
I hope so.
Or at the very least, I'm willing to give him the benefit of every doubt going in.
Absolutely.
So,
Gotham City, starring Angelina Jolie as the Catwoman.
As the cat bitch.
I really hope, and this movie fell victim to it a little bit, and I really hope the next one doesn't anymore. You know, it's an issue, particularly in comic book movies, that with every subsequent sequel, they add a major villain. Characters, often a villain. Sometimes it's Batgirl, Alicia Silverstone. But they add at least a major character in every sequel. And this movie had the Joker and Two-Face, because you can't just have one.
Yeah.
And I really hope that they don't have to go like the Riddler and Catwoman, because you end up doing a disservice to both, I think. I mean, who knows? Maybe they'll come up with a way to crack it. But we'll see.
Given what you, and we don't have to dwell on this, because this is one of those geeky what if conversations.
Like the kind they would have at a comic book festival?
Yeah, like a comic book festival.
Like if you went to a comic book festival. Oh, fuck me.
Given what you know about Christopher Nolan now and how kind of talented he is, what villain from the universe would you like to see him tackle? I'm not even saying who would you want to cast or anything. Right, I'm saying his. Given the way he saw the Joker and manipulated that.
Right.
And even Two-Face to an extent, even though it was...
I was even opposed to the Joker.
Well, yeah, sure. Well, it seems ridiculous, but I mean... Right. What, I mean, I don't... I mean...
I don't have...
I'm really... And only because romance has been something that's sort of been stifling in these movies, I'm really intrigued by the idea of Catwoman.
And that would be my answer for the same reason that you mention. However...
Okay.
I would argue that is the area that Christopher Nolan is the worst at.
Okay, all right.
whether it's just roles for women.
Okay.
Particularly emotional matters.
Uh-huh.
His movies tend to be a little more cerebral.
Okay.
Than they are emotional, and I agree with you that would be an interesting dynamic.
Because it represents a shift in, because, you know, it's like, you know, it's a villain.
It,
and
and we would see a different side of Batman, arguably.
Got it.
But I worry that he could not stick that landing. I could be wrong.
Sure.
And I'm sure he'll cast somebody that I'll say, what? And then they'll be awesome.
Well, the favorite in the clubhouse would probably be Marion Cotillard. But maybe. I'm not. I don't know.
Catwoman.
This is me just mindlessly starting rumors on the internet.
I'm gonna.
I don't know.
She's going on my poster for Gotham City.
As soon as we wrap this, I have the tagline. Bust out your Photoshop.
Are you ready for my tagline for Gotham City?
Do
starring Marion Cotillard. This bitch has claws.
Whoa.
What do you think?
20
steps back, or 30?
I was gonna go with something like. This litter box ain't big enough for the two of them. I don't know.
That's in the trailer.
Oh, of course.
And then it's like, wow, I feel good.
We turned this into something really different.
I knew that I would now.
Yeah.
If these two don't kill each other, they're going to be the best of friends. I don't know. Once again, this thing just shits the bed at the end.
Who knows?
What is it?
I don't know.
This movie has the same problem as Christopher Nolan Batman movies. Third act is a festival of barf.
Well, you know what?
A festival of comic books.
I've had a lot of fun.
Me too.
And I hope everyone else did.
We hope you only agree with us and never disagree with us, because it's way more pleasant to listen to things that confirm what you already think and feel.
That's true. I mean,
and that's what we're going for on F This Movie.
Yep.
Just reassure you.
We're just going to stroke your ego and your tastes.
Right.
And just make sure. I mean, we're...
So what we're saying is The Dark Knight, best movie ever made.
Pretty much.
Behind Shawshank Redemption and, of course, The Boondock Saints.
There it is.
Those are the top three. So thanks for listening.
Yep.
Email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. Be a friend of us on Facebook. Our site is fthismovie.blogspot.com. Listen to us on dvdverdictpresents.com.
A lot of avenues.
Yeah, really.
It's really great.
Please represent us well in Washington, sir.
I'll do my best.
Lobby hard for us.
Gonna do it.
Thank you.
I'm gonna hit the floor. It's all gonna happen.
And we'll see you next time, guys.
Cool.
Bye.
Later.